Welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel podcast. And today we have our first in a very long time guest to come on to have a chat with us. So Leanne, I'm just going to open the floor to you. Open this floor, but you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are.
Perfect. So my name's Leanne. I am the owner of the Female Fit Club. So I predominantly help women to, I guess, try to find fitness farm, start enjoying it. And I also help them to achieve their weight loss goals without misery or restriction and crying into their salad. So that's kind of what I aim to do. I also work full time, working in children's centres. So that's what I do in my day job. I have one daughter. She's 23. She's currently travelling in Southeast Asia. Well, actually, this isn't Indonesia at the moment, but she's back next weekend, which I can't wait for. So that's really good. I live down in the southeast of Kent in a little corner called Thanet. People might know it best for Margate, that famous tourist town. So I live sort of close to Margate by the sea, which is lovely. Especially going out for nice coastal walks and things. But yeah, that's a bit about me.
And one of the reasons that I invited you onto the podcast is you have a background maybe similar to mine, but obviously there will be many differences in your own health and healing journey. So do you want to share a bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So I have been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. I've had the diagnosis for 17 years now. I had to think about how old I was then. So it sort of started when I was about 29. I was working in a gym, started getting some shoulder pain that was quite persistent, and I got to a point where I was struggling to lift my arm up that high. And so I went to the doctor and they sort of said, talked about steroid injections and things. Anyway, sort of carried on doing my thing in the gym. And gradually over time, just started to get more achy in my joints, things that you take for granted, like getting out of bed in the morning, putting your feet on the floor, holding cutlery, just basic things like that just were getting harder and harder. And I'd actually left the gym at this point. And was working in Tesco's, complete change of sort of direction, on a temporary basis. So going to work was a real struggle because there was lots of movement involved. So I went to see my GP, and I was actually really lucky with my GP in that she said, I think you might have arthritis. And there was a trial running to either try a placebo drug or a steroid drug. So she said, I'll put you forward for this trial because it means you'll get seen quicker by the rheumatology team. So that was a real bonus because I can't imagine living in that pain for a long period of time. So I went through the process, got seen by the rheumatology team. And just before I turned 30, got my diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis, which is a lovely present to receive. But on the plus side, it meant that they could start giving me medication that I needed, and I could start to find out more about what was actually wrong with me. Looking back, I think I've always had it, because when I was younger, they did actually test me for it, but my inflammation markers weren't high enough. But even when I was tested when I was 29, I still didn't have that high levels of inflammation showing. And as a child and a teenager, I constantly suffered from aches and pains in my joints. And you know what? Then they would just go, it's just growing pains. And I was in and out of physio throughout sort of my teens and my adult life with knee problems, shoulder problems, all of those things. So I think it had always been there. Yeah. And all those times I was sort of complaining that this hurt, that hurt, and people probably thought, oh my goodness, you know, like she just keeps moaning about her aches and pain. I think it was all just part of it, and we just didn't know at that point. So got the diagnosis just before I turned 30. It had been a real struggle up to that point, and I didn't actually get on the, because they obviously try you on different medications, and you get something to see what works, get the right thing for you. for sort of the first 5 years, I would say I wasn't on the right medication. It was a lot better, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't sit down on the floor with my child. She was only five, or she was six by then, but five when I sort of first started getting the aches and pains. Couldn't get down on the floor, couldn't sit comfortably for long periods of time. I was constantly fidgety. Sleeping was uncomfortable. There was one time I remember, it's probably a particularly low point, where I cried over a tin of soup because I couldn't open it because I just couldn't grip it. Mum would have to come and wash my hair sometimes because it was just too painful to do that rubbing motion. I was thinking, oh my God, is this what it's going to be like forever? And I think when they first gave me that diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis, my instant thought was, and no disrespect to people, but elderly people whose fingers are like sort of, you know, bent in and they're struggling to move. And I thought, oh my God, this is my life and I'm like 30 and what's it going to be like in the future? And I was a single parent as well. So sort of everything was, it was down to me to be there and do everything. So sort of that was my first thought, because I knew nothing about rheumatoid arthritis when I got the diagnosis. I didn't know, you know, what the outcomes were for it. I didn't know what life was like for it. So it was definitely a real learning curve to actually find out more about it. And if I used to tell people I had arthritis, their first thing was, oh yeah, my nan's got that. And of course their nan might have had it, but I said, well, it might be that your nan's got osteoarthritis rather than rheumatoid arthritis. So it was kind of explaining there is a difference. There's lots of different types. Had some occupational therapy. So they sort of spoke about lots of different things you can get to help you, things that do your buttons up, and you can put on your kettle so you don't have to lift the kettle, because it's all about protecting your joints once you've got arthritis and not doing things that involve putting them under too much strain. But again, I was thinking, I'm 30, I want to be able to lift a kettle, you know, I want to be able to do my buttons up. And the one thing that I didn't want to give up was wearing heels. And to be fair, since COVID, I haven't worn heels a lot, but at that time I loved my heels and I was like, I don't want to stop wearing heels because my feet hurt. Like, this is like the thing I was most focused on, which is ridiculous when you think about all the other things that could go out of your life. But so I was lucky, I had a really good rheumatology team, really good rheumatology nurse. So after about 5 years, I got put on a medication called methotrexate, and that was just life-changing for me. Like, I suddenly was pain-free. I could do all the things I could do before, pretty much sit down on the floor, open tins of soup, all of that stuff. I was like, oh my God, you know, this is like, when you think you're never going to feel a certain way again, getting that back really makes you appreciate it, actually, I think, because we take a lot of it for granted, don't we, in what we can do in life.
100%. Yes, even you said about there, about crying over not being able to open a tin of soup. I've cried over not being able to empty the dishwasher, and I hate emptying the dishwasher, but just having that independence taken away from you and having to rely on something else, like, you can't even picture it in your mind until you experience it.
Definitely. And I think as well, that's why my passion for sort of supporting women in health and fitness came from, because I think it's so important, whether we're overweight, underweight, whatever, it's that function. When you haven't got that function, you realize how important it is to have it. It doesn't matter whether you can run 5k, if you can get in and out of your chair and open your own tins and packets, you know, that's going to be the stuff that keeps you going at the end of the day. Got put on the medication and it was amazing. I was suddenly like, great, I can do everything. And I remember going on to, when I first got diagnosed, the online forums for rheumatoid arthritis. And I think I went on it one night, and at the end I was just like, oh my God, I'm so depressed, because it was all very negative. It almost, and I'm sure there's some really positive forums out there, but it was all very much like, who's the worst off? Who can do the least? It just almost seemed like that competitive element of who was going to be the most ill in the most pain. And I thought, oh, you know, I can't look at this, because this is not what I want to be like.
I did experience with the Crohn's, the Crohn's forums when I first got diagnosed. I was like, oh, there's a community of people, and I went in, yeah. And I was like, oh, no, this is not what I want to be around, because like that, it was who's had the worst drug reactions, who's had the worst story, and you're just like, oh, no.
You just, you know, when you get diagnosed with anything, I think your first instinct is you want to know the positives, because you want to know that actually there's life after diagnosis. You might need a bit of time wallowing in it, because that's human nature, isn't it? It's natural to sort of think, oh God, you know, this is awful. I don't know what this looks like. But then you want to know that actually, okay, it is all right. Look at these people. They're doing X, Y, Z. I can do that too, or I can do similar. So my rheumatology team, alongside with the National Rheumatoid Arthritis Society, wanted to set up a local group for people with rheumatoid arthritis. So I said, yeah, that's fine. I will sort of be that lead volunteer for it. My mum helped me as well. And we would meet once a month with other people in the local community who had rheumatoid arthritis. A lot of them were older than me. But I mean, that was fine. Everyone was there for the same reason. I sort of put around the group that it was about a positive ethos. We were looking for things that would help us rather than an opportunity for it to be who's the worst off. And we'd have guest speakers and people could talk about their experiences. And it was a good group. It was a lot more positive. And I think it spurs you on when you're sort of talking to other people to almost be that positive role model for them, because if I went in and was all like doom and gloom, they're going to leave doom and gloom. And so that was a really good thing to be a part of. I got back into my fitness again, so I started going back to the gym and working out, which was really good because I hadn't been able to do that for sort of 5 years. And the only thing I was told I couldn't really do was running, which is fine because I'd gone off running by then anyway. So I wasn't too worried about that. And just because of the pressure, obviously, on your joints of hitting the ground. And I really do feel that getting back into exercise has been a massive help, because obviously the stronger my muscles are, the stronger my joints are going to be. Generally for keeping your weight down, because you don't want to put that extra strain on your joints if you're carrying extra weight. Mentally, because there's a lot of things, I think, with rheumatoid arthritis, probably the same for you with your Crohn's, people can understand the physical side, but actually with rheumatoid arthritis you can get periods of extreme fatigue, which people will be like, oh yeah, I'm really tired too, and you're like, but I'm not tired, I'm literally like, if you ask me to do anything, I can't do it. And also and I think I forget a lot of the time that is one of the, because I'm quite a busy person. I've always got something on that I'm doing. I'm terrible for taking on more than I should. And I sometimes then get to a point where I maybe experience that tiredness. And I'm like, why am I so tired? And then my mum or someone will go, well, maybe I've got rheumatoid arthritis. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I think because I feel so well now, I kind of forget. Yes. Depression can be another side effect. So obviously it can affect your mental health, which again is something I sort of tend to forget. Sometimes I do have low periods, but I think that is generally for everybody, but could be associated with the arthritis. For a few years after diagnosis, I did get flare-ups every now and then where I would get that pain back, but I can't remember the last time I had any sort of flare-up, which is brilliant. And I think actually having a positive outlook and thinking about what I can do rather than what I couldn't do definitely helped get me through it, not wanting to be like the 30-year-old woman who'd given up and then was missing out on life and missing out on the things that she enjoyed. So I definitely think it's about, and obviously everyone's journey is completely different. Like I can say this, but someone else with rheumatoid arthritis will have a completely different experience to me. But I think no matter what your experience, if you can pick out some of the positives and think about that can do rather than can't do,
it really is going to massively help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I remember I have that positive outlook, kind of find a way to fix the problem. Like that's mm-hmm. always been in my nature. And I remember one of the nurses saying to me, you know, your positive mindset's not going to help. I mean, I'm not really help. And I just was like, wow, you really don't understand the mind-body connection. Because I had just, not long before that, one of the first books that I read after I got diagnosed was a book by David Hamilton called How the Mind Can Heal Your Body. And it was very much about when you're taking medication, visualising the medication going in to do the help, not the harm, to reduce the risk of side effects, and looking at all the positives of the things that you can do, so that then fuels, because the energy that you put out into the world is the energy you get back. And when you were saying you wanted to be that beacon yeah. of light for other people, if you'd gone in doom and gloom, that's what you would have got back, and you would have left feeling worse. Whereas when you go in and put light in, other people feel uplifted by it, and then that feeds that back to you, that loop. So it's, for me, you can't disconnect. Like, and I think this is certainly what I've experienced, is medical people are very knowledgeable and experienced in that channel of thing. And a lot of them don't have a bigger picture. There are some that I've just been given a new nurse, and she seems to be more, she's a wee bit younger, maybe had different interests in her own life and her own experience. Very much more on board with that sort of stuff. So it's like, okay, thank goodness for somebody on part of the team that sees that my consultant is good. I mean, I do think he sits and nods at me going, she's a lunatic, but and there's a lot of research in the sports science showing about how exercise helps, although it causes minor inflammation when you're strengthening muscles, overall it helps reduce inflammation. So being able to do exercise, and one of the things I'm always teaching people is to start where you are. If you are thin, then you need to lie down and rest. But if you can just lie and wiggle your fingers and wiggle your toes so that there's some movement happening in your body, not just being completely static, because there's, and my podcast 2 episodes ago was about that difference between fatigue and lethargy. If you're feeling lethargic, exercise will very quickly start to make you better. If you're fatigued and you try and exercise, very quickly your body will be like, lie down. So it's understanding the difference between the two of them, and when you're somebody who experiences both, is you have to work out for yourself so that you know the difference between the two, so that you know what you can do to help yourself.
Definitely. I mean, I've had times where I've gone to the gym even though I knew I felt fatigued, and within 5 minutes I'm back out because I'm like, you can't do this today. But I think as well, there's that sort of mindset amongst people that if I've got a condition, I shouldn't exercise, because, or I won't exercise because, you know, it might hurt, or it might. And I think that's not on them. That's an education thing, isn't it? There's not enough education done on the power of movement generally in the medical industry, I don't think. But I think, like you say, you don't have to be doing 50 burpees to have movement to help you. You can be doing, you know, a 5 minute walk up and down your garden, if you've got a garden, can be enough to just help you. And actually, once you see that some, you know, in the right circumstances, it's going to make you feel better, it's more encouraging to keep doing it. You know, I mean, I went to one of my rheumatology nurse appointments, and she did say to me, she went, oh, I wish everyone was as easy and positive as you. And I thought, oh, that's really nice, because, you know, I think she was encouraging people to sort of exercise and things like that. I mean, you know, things like Pilates, that kind of gentle stuff as well, can be really useful. You know, if you're not someone who wants to work up a big sweat or whatever, there will be something out there for you. And even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, if that's all you can start with, you know, you will reap the benefits, I think, in the long run. And once you realise your movement isn't over, I think that in itself is motivating, because essentially we do want to move around, don't we? We've got stuff we need to do, even if it's popping to the shop to get milk. It involves us moving, even if it's just to walk to the car. So, really? You know, it is part of our everyday life, and we have to kind of think of it like that.
And I think if somebody listening to this is somebody that's got a diagnosis, got a health condition, there's plenty of instructors like ourselves out there that are leading from that place and have that understanding. Like people, and I only got diagnosed 6 years ago, and right. I worked in before that, so I know what I was like before diagnosis, and I know what I'm like after. And I did always have compassion and understanding that not all bodies move the same, and I could give adaptations, but I didn't physically understand what it was like until I actually experienced it. And then you're like, oh right, okay. And then that gives you clear insight to the mindset and to the like the mental space of people when you can't do things, the frustration, the anger. I remember somebody saying to me, it's a grieving process. You have to go through that grieving process of the life that you had before. It was one of the guys that I spoke to recently. He's got inflammatory bowel disease as well, and he's got a stoma, but he's had that since he was 11, and now he's wow. in his 20s. And I didn't get diagnosed until my late 30s, and we were having a conversation about, was it harder or easier for me being an adult diagnosed versus him being a child getting diagnosed? And he's like, I don't know any other life, whereas you knew a life before. In his eyes, he's harder, but in my eyes, I see his journey harder because he's had the opportunity to go and make all the mistakes the way that I made. You know, he still can't overcome his life.
Yeah.
But when you've already got that diagnosis, there's already limitations that you need to work around, and it's everything on their own, and how we perceive it as their own. One of the best things I had was last year. I got some therapy, and it was all around, it was like CBT therapy all around acceptance, because I was still, even 6 years in, still in that anger and disappointment, and my expectations weren't getting met. And working with a therapist, we did 6 sessions, and it was just life-changing of like, oh right, okay. And even that made my symptoms better.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in a cycle of things are just not getting better, and I expect them to be something else. And the work that we did was just like, oh right, okay. And when I took that pressure off myself, those expectations off myself, the symptoms weren't as bad, which again shows that mind-body connection, because the stress that putting on myself was making me ill.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, you're so right, like your mindset really does affect your whole body, because it affects, you know, if you're in a low period, you look after yourself less as well, don't you? You might not eat as well, you might not move as much, you might be only looking at the negative things that are going on around you rather than focusing on the positive. And all that does have such a massive impact. And I think really it would be lovely if in the healthcare industry there was almost diagnosis of whatever, and then a package of care where you had that counselling to almost get you over that first hurdle, to see that actually, okay, you've had this diagnosis, this is what it means, but it doesn't mean it's the end of your life, or it doesn't mean, you know, I mean, that would be in an ideal world, but I'm not a politician, so I can't make it happen, but you know. But my sister, she's got a stoma, she's 3 years younger than me. And funnily enough, we both got our diagnosis around the same time. She had ulcerative colitis, which was really bizarre, because we sort of both seemingly had nothing and then both got different diagnoses at the same time of inflammatory conditions. But yeah, she went on to have a stoma, but she, you know, she manages it really well. She's got a very positive outlook on it. She doesn't sort of hide it away. She's very open about it. And again, I think if you are open about it, that's just one way of helping other people, isn't it? You know, by them feeling like, oh, actually, you know, she's talking about it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Because I sometimes think when you get diagnosed with something, it feels like a bit of shame, like, oh, well, you know, how have I got this? How are people going to perceive me now I've got this diagnosis? Are they going to look at me differently? Or I think for me, it was, are they going to see me as old because I've got arthritis, you know, when I first got diagnosed? But I think, you know, owning it and being okay with it, and that might take some work, like you say, it might take therapy, it might take whatever you need to do to get there. But I think holding on to something like shame or that again has that massive effect on the body. It's that trauma aspect, isn't it, of like how that affects you. And I think that you were saying about us having that connection, understanding how people feel. I think when I meet women who don't like exercise or don't want to exercise, or think they can't exercise, I've actually been in that position where I was active, I was going to the gym. So then I couldn't do that. And it is hard when you're in pain to think about doing something. And it is hard if you know, after 5 years off of really doing anything like that and then going back to it, I'm not going to lie, it was a struggle, you know, to get back into that habit, that routine, that mindset. But I think it does help me identify a bit with where they're coming from, because I had to get myself back into it. So I know that it's not as easy as just saying to someone, or just go to the gym, or just come to class, or, you know, whatever it might be. It's a whole hurdle to get over.
Yeah, and I think I'm kind of at that point just now, because I held a lot of shame when I first got diagnosed, because I was fit and healthy, except I wasn't super fit, but obviously there was something going on underneath that then made me unwell. So I was like, why are people going to listen to me? Because I ended up with this health condition and I'm supposed to be helping people prevent getting that. So there was a lot of work around understanding that this isn't a lifestyle disease, because I was taught, I did my degree in sport and exercise science, and a big chunk of that was about lifestyle disease, prevention of lifestyle disease. So that's what public health, we are preventing people ending up in the doctor's room. And then I ended up in the doctor's room and I was like, oh no, I've done something really wrong. And then there was all that blame of, I've done too much, I've blah blah blah. And now I'm like, great, I teach my class, I've got 3 classes I teach a week, but I know that I need and want to do a little bit more, because I'm getting to that perimenopausal stage where I'm like, I need to really start going back to my strength work and need to rebuilding those muscles. And it is that, right, how do I get over this hurdle? And having that understanding and compassion for other people that are struggling, like, actually I don't want to go and do an hours long class, so let's start with 15 minutes, and get that going and start processing from there to get into the habit. And then once you've got 15 minutes you can build up to half an hour, and if you want to go longer then you can go longer, and if you don't, you don't.
And I think there's other people out there who almost, I don't think they're necessarily purposely trying to make you feel this way, but I know that, you know, I'd go to sort of, you know, Pamper type fair things, and there'd be your person selling a certain supplement or whatever, and they'd be like, oh yeah, this is really going to help with that. Have you thought about changing your diet? Because da da da. Not saying that diet, you know, diet is important, but it's, well, my diet didn't get me here. You know, it's almost like, don't make people feel like they're to blame for something that they got, because that doesn't help them in the long run. You know, by all means, I know people are out there wanting to sell things and did it, but a lot of the time these people have no medical background whatsoever and are just telling you something they've been told. And you know, that goes on, it's fine, but don't make people feel bad because you're saying that their diet might have been to blame, or the fact that they once ate a donut, you know, might have actually triggered off this whole inflammation in their body.
I think, I don't know if you're like this, but I certainly blamed myself enough, because I'm like, oh, I had a terrible diet when I was a teenager, I drank too much when I was in my 20s, those 20s, 30s, done all this damage, this is it. But then you listen, I don't know if you've ever come across a doctor called Zach Bush, and he talks about the fact that your whole body, your cells are regenerating all the time. So like your colon is a brand new colon in 3 days. So the fact that you did something 10 years ago, that's not going to be the reason that the cells are regenerating the way they are today. Like there's something going on, and it's like, oh, right, okay, right. So I can let go of that shame. All that blame, because it's what it's about, how I'm regenerating now, what can I do now to help regenerate in a better way, positive mindset, good connection to self, yes, nutrition, diet, feeding the gut mind, is all going to be a bonus, but it's a bigger picture.
Definitely. And I think as well, who you surround yourself with, isn't it? You know, like we said about the online forums, if we'd have thought, oh, okay, we'll stay in this group, probably our outlook and how we were about our lives would be completely different now. Or I might be sat in a chair 7 hours out of the day thinking, oh, I better sit here because if I move, that's going to be bad for me and I'm going to make things worse and, oh, my pain. And but we took a different path and surrounded ourselves in different environments and sought out different things to see us through in a different way. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, definitely. People in business talk about that. You're the average of the five people around you.
Yeah.
You're building your business or doing anything. Well, that's the same when you're building your health. Who are the people
definitely
around you feeding the, oh, you're an invalid, you're a victim, you're a disabled, you're this, or are people around you saying, what do you need today?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I support you today in the most positive way. Let's do something, and if you can't do it, that's cool. But there's no pressure either way, but let's try. And having that more uplifting energy around about you.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think it's like you say, you know, if you're trying to lose weight and you're hanging around with people who are constantly bringing cakes and chocolate into the house and then going, oh, go on, you can have one, you can treat yourself. You're never going to be that person who loses the weight they want to, are they? Are you? And, you know, if you're trying to give up smoking and you hang around with everyone who's smoking all the time, it's going to be way more difficult for you to give up smoking than if you sort of, not saying you can't see those people, but if you put yourself in different environments.
Yeah, need to be around people that are inspiring you to be the best version of yourself and encouraging you and helping you and supporting you all the time.
And I think as well, like you say, letting go of any guilt, because I felt really guilty for ages because my daughter at 5 was having to put my socks on, do my bra up, that sort of thing. And I felt bad about that for ages. But, you know, actually it's, you can feel bad about that for the rest of your life, but that's not going to serve me in the long run. It's not going to serve her. She, you know, if I talk to her about it, she doesn't look back on it in that, oh God, you know, it ruined my life, because luckily she wasn't a long-term carer, and I know there's children out there that are. But sometimes the guilt in us is not what other people are feeling. So we're feeling guilty about things that have gone on, and actually they've forgotten about it and have moved on, and we're sat there harbouring it all, which again doesn't help your inflammation, your body's reaction to stuff.
And I think when we help people, we feel good. So when people help us, they feel good, and we forget that because we're the ones that are taking help because we need it.
Yeah.
And there's stuff around that it's just like, okay. So the last time when I had a flare last year, I was in a better place where I was just like, do you know what, I just need help.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do it. But I then had to check myself when I was getting a wee bit too. I'll just ask him to make the dinner again tonight.
Yeah, I'm fine now, but I'm not going to tell anyone.
I'm sitting back here waiting to be fed.
Yeah. I'll have tray service tonight, please.
Ringing the bell.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. I think that's a really important point, because I think if you've got someone who's, I remember this with my nan, my granddad was very much like, no, you sit there, I'll do it. And actually in the end, when sort of our late 70s, she actually ended up spending most of her time sat in her chair. And I think it can be very easy to let people do things for you. And if you've got someone who is that sort of person who loves to sort of help and they want to take care of you, which is lovely, but they could actually end up sort of doing more harm than good in the long run, because you almost become, you lose your independence, you lose that confidence to do stuff by yourself. I mean, my nan lost the confidence to go out and cross the road to go to the corner shop because she just hadn't been doing it. And I think, you know, it's lovely to be waited on hand and foot, we all like it, but it's knowing where to draw the line, isn't it? Right, can I actually start to do things for myself now? Okay, yeah, I will do a little bit. And it's those baby steps till you feel better, but it's being wary of not becoming that person who's sat in their chair. And
yeah definitely. What would your top tips to somebody be if they were just early stage diagnosis?
I would say, so organisations like the National Rheumatoid Arthritis Society are very good. They are very positive. They want to help people. I would also say don't put up with medication that's not working for you, because sometimes it's trial and error. You have to try some different things, different doses of stuff. So don't assume that just because you've got the medication and you've still got pain or you're still unable to do stuff, that that's it for you now, because it's not necessarily. Like we said, find a community of people. The National Rheumatoid Arthritis Society do have groups running in different areas. Sometimes your hospital will have groups that run as well. They'll have set up their own. So find that community of people. Take it slow. Don't suddenly think, right, I need to exercise, so I'm off to the gym for 3 hours. You know, build up slowly. Be aware of your own limits. You know, no one's judging you because you can only do 5 minutes, 10 minutes now. I went on to do a 100-kilometre walk. I walked from London to Brighton. One of the hardest things I've ever done, I'm not going to lie. But it was good to know I could do it. It was almost like, yeah, I can do this. If I can do that, I can do anything, really. My partner won't do it with me again, though, because there's a massive hill at the end. So, and he's like, I can't, because I know that hill's coming.
Sometimes the unknown's better.
Yeah, exactly. I think just try to, you know, you are going to have down days. You're going to have days where it feels negative, but try to just pull out those positives where you can and try to focus on, okay, what can I do today? And it might be the smallest thing, like getting your lid off your soup, or managing to make yourself a cup of tea if you're in that much pain. But focus on that rather than, well, I couldn't do anything today because I was in pain, because that will just breed and breed and breed. Whereas if you're thinking, well, I did this today, that's really good. You know, be your own, what's the word, celebrate yourself, the little things that you can do. But I think you've really got to be the person to advocate for you as well in the medical system, because, you know, we know it's very much postcode lottery when it comes to, you know, the care that you might receive. But just know that actually you are going to have to be there. If you've got people around you to support you, great, they can come and help advocate for you as well. But you don't have to be in intense pain all the time. You can get stuff that will help you. You can get your occupational health. You can get your occupational therapy. You can get physiotherapy if you need it. But make sure you're asking for those things if they're what you need, or asking what you need. What can I have that will help me? I think they're probably my top tips. And look after your health, because I think if I didn't do that, I'd probably be in a different position now.
Yeah.
Than I am. Mm. But as you can see, like as I said, there's pretty much nothing that I don't do that I did before. And again, everybody's journey is different, everybody's outcomes are different. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. I could wear my heels if I want to. I said, I did the long walk, I exercise. There's pretty much not anything that I don't do now. And I think even if you're not doing as much as that, there will be stuff that you can do. It's not all darkness when you get a diagnosis.
And celebrate the stuff that you can do.
Yeah, 100%. Because it will seem like really small, insignificant stuff. But when you've spent a period of time not being able to do it, actually the fact that you then can is massive. It's not insignificant. It's not small. We take it as insignificant because we're used to being able to take it for granted that we can do it. When you have a period where you can't do it, that's when holding a pen is like, oh, actually, I can hold a pen and it doesn't hurt. You know, I can use cutlery because it doesn't hurt. It's like, wow, that's, I never appreciated that before, but now holding a fork is like a massive thing.
Takes your gratitude practice to a whole other level.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you share any of your journey on your social media, like in your business?
Yeah, sometimes I do. Not a whole lot, to be fair, but sometimes I find that actually it does help, even if they haven't got anything, a diagnosis. I think just sharing the fact that you've had a struggle with the whole exercise thing, you've had a struggle with your mental health in terms of feeling like, because you know what it's like when you're in pain, it massively affects your mental health, doesn't it? And I think sometimes people can identify with that, even if they haven't got what you've got, they can identify with it's a struggle. Oh, sometimes I feel like this. Especially, I think, if people are sort of wanting to exercise and they're wanting to lose weight or they're wanting to get fitter, but they can't seem to quite get themselves there.
Yeah.
I think knowing that actually you as the person who is seen as, well, they probably never struggle to do it, or they probably get up and they just exercise really easily. I mean, it's not true. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, sometimes, you know, like, oh, I've got to go and do my workout. It's not always jumping out of bed and yay. But I think sometimes just them knowing that you've struggled in some way just makes them feel better.
Do you work with clients online or are you all in person?
So I've got an online membership and I also teach in classes in the community. I only do two now. I teach club a size. So I find that's quite a nice one for women to get into because it's sort of fun and lighthearted and doesn't come with too much pressure to to be super fit. So yeah, that's kind of what I do at the moment. I was doing a lot more before COVID, but I think COVID changed things for a lot of people, didn't it? And
yeah.
I just couldn't go out sort of four times a week because obviously working full time as well, so I can't do four times a week lugging stuff out every night, and so I sort of pared back a bit on that, but still love it.
And if people wanted to find out about your online membership or your local classes, where's the best place for them to go to get information on that?
So I have got a website coming, but it's not published yet, so it's easier to find me on Facebook under the Female Fit Club. Yeah.
So what we'll do is we can put links to that in the show notes so that people can
lovely
your stuff. So thank you so much, Leanne.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And your wisdom. It has been an absolute pleasure to hear how you've worked through and found the positive out of something that could be seen as a negative.
Yeah. So thank you. Yeah, definitely. No, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Find it, hit stop recording. Thank you so much to Leanne for joining me on today's podcast. So really inspired, really grateful that there are lots of people out there who are on their own journey and finding ways to be able to live as well as they can with whatever it is that they've been diagnosed with. If this resonates with you, if this information has been useful, if you know anybody that's got rheumatoid arthritis, then maybe share this episode with them so that they can tune in and be inspired, especially if they've been getting stuck in those negative forums. Now, there are, I am sure, positive forums out there. I don't try and spend too much time on the internet, although I still spend far too much time. But yeah, I'm really keen and excited to share positive journeys where people are finding ways to be able to live well with whatever it is that they are being diagnosed with, whether it's a chronic health condition, whether it is going through perimenopause and menopause, because women have been ignored is probably the best word that we can use here in the medical world for far too long. We're misunderstood for too long. We've been treated like mini men, and we're not, because our hormone cycle is completely different to a man's hormone cycle. And thankfully, steps are being made. But in 2023, when science and medicine have been around for so long, I would like to have hoped that we would have been acknowledged sooner than this. But you know, steps in the right direction are being made, and in the meantime we are here to help, to inspire, to motivate and encourage you through. Now I will be launching very soon a new program that's going to be all about 15 minute sessions. I'm still trying to work out the name. One of my friends has given me the name. quickies with the Healing Rebel, where we're going to do 15-minute sessions. So there's going to be a mix of Pilates, yoga, cardio fitness. Oh, I'm not looking forward to that, but I am. Beginner's strength training, meditations. There are going to be healing health talks. There's going to be simple things that you can do to tweak your nutrition if you're struggling with that, to help get that in point. We're going to be talking about hydration. We're going to talk about the lymphatic system, all the stuff that I teach in the big Healing Rebel program. I'm going to bring it down into 15-minute chunk size pieces to make it more accessible, to make it more manageable, because like we said in that podcast there, trying to get back into a routine of exercise can be really, really difficult, and trying to fit it in can just be overwhelming. I had a conversation with a client the other day who also has multiple health problems, and that's what she was saying. She's like, I'm really struggling to just get the momentum. She used to go for hour-long runs, and now she's just like, oh, don't have time, can't even do 5 minutes on the bike. So we set her a challenge of just starting off with 2 minutes to see how she goes. Sometimes once you get into the swing, once you get into the rhythm of it, and you get over that ugh feeling of I can't do this and start to work out what we can do, then that's where we find space and time and energy to bring it back into our lives. So if you want to know more about that, please do check out my website, iamjenwilson.com. We will have that information up soon. If you get onto my mailing list, so if you click onto the free courses tab and sign up for one of my free courses, that'll get you onto the email list so that you don't miss out the information when it comes out. But I will be talking about it all over my social medias as well, so please do check that out. Have a wonderful day, whatever you're up to. Remember to like, share, subscribe, blah blah blah. Help this tiny, tiny, tiny little podcast become something bigger to be able to help more people. Thank you so much.